둘, 셋, 파!
Borahe Army and fellow music fans, I'm Kayla.
And I'm Bethany, and we're the hosts of Standing BTS from the Consequence Podcast Network. We're a bi-weekly show that covers the impact and legacy of K-pop group BTS.
We mix the perfect blend of research and fangirl as we take a deep dive into lyrics during album reviews, theorize over music videos, and keep up with their current events.
No BTS topic is off limits. We welcome everyone into the conversation, whether you're a casual fan, committed ARMY, or someone who's just curious about one of the biggest music groups in the world.
Come chat with us every other Thursday with a new episode wherever podcasts are found.
Welcome to the In Defense of Ska podcast.
There's a lot of like, okay, well, you like ska, name three bands that aren't the Boss Tones.
I'm your host, Aaron Carnes, music journalist and author of the book In Defense of Ska.
And I'm your co-host, Adam Davis, veteran ska musician from the bands Omnigon and Link 80.
On our show, we aim to push back on the mainstream's negative perception of ska music.
There are so many great untold stories throughout the history of ska. The show features interviews with everyone from the Mighty Mighty Boss Tones to Fishbone, Fall Out Boy singer Patrick Stump, and the Police drummer Stuart Copeland. Join us on In Defense of Ska from the Consequence Podcast Network.
Hey, football fans, BetMGM is giving you the chance to win up to $250,000 in bonus bets. It's all part of BetMGM's longest touchdown jackpot, where you'll be able to split the grand prize with anyone else who bet on the longest touchdown of the week. Log into your BetMGM account today and opt into the promo. Then, place an anytime touchdown wager of $10 or more on the player of your choice up to one player per game. If your player scores the longest touchdown of the week, you'll win a share of the $250,000. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. See BetMGM.com for terms. 21 plus only. This U.S. promotional offer is not available in Mississippi, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. For New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY 467-369. For Arizona, 1-800-NEXT-STEP. For Massachusetts, 1-800-327-5050. For Iowa, 1-800-BETS-OFF. For Puerto Rico, 1-800-981-0023. Subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are unrestricted bonus dollars that expire in 7 days. In partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel.
It's a new year, 2025, and you're probably thinking, how am I going to make this year different? How can I make this the best year ever? How am I going to build something for myself? I'm dying to be my own boss or see if I can turn this business idea I've been kicking around into a reality. But I don't know how to make that happen. Shopify is the key, and let me tell you how. The best time to start your new business is right now. Shopify makes it simple to create your brand, open for business, and get your first sale. Get your store up and running easily with thousands of customizable templates. No coding or design skills required. All you need to do is drag and drop. Their powerful social media tools let you connect all your channels and create shoppable posts and help you sell everywhere people scroll. Shopify makes it easy to manage your growing business. They help with details like shipping, taxes, and payments from one single dashboard, allowing you to focus on the important stuff, like growing your business. What happens if you don't act now? Will you regret it? What if someone beats you to the idea? Don't kick yourself when you hear this again in a year because you didn't do anything now. With Shopify, your first sale is closer than you think. Established in 2025. Has a nice ring to it, doesn't it? Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/redcircle, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/redcircle to start selling with Shopify today. Shopify.com/redcircle.
It's easy to hear your favorite artist on WFPK from wherever you are. Listen on your smart speaker, live stream from our website at WFPK.org from Louisville Public Media.
Can you hear and see me?
Consequence Podcast Network.
Hey, and welcome to another edition of Kyle Meredith With. It's the interview series presented by WFPK at WFPK.org. Consequence and the Consequence Podcast Network. Thank you for making your way here, for checking out the series. You know what to do. If you like what you see, what you hear, hit that subscribe button. I put out 3 new interviews every single week, a new one every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at anywhere you get your podcasts from. Spotify, Apple Podcast, NPR, WFPK.org, Consequence, YouTube for the video versions, or wherever you like to get your podcasts, you can subscribe to Kyle Meredith with. Please do give the series a rating, leave a review while you're at it. We've had some great guests dropping by lately. John Waters, the iconic filmmaker, was just here. Tori Amos, Martin Cove, you know him as John Kreese from Karate Kid and Cobra Kai. We talked with Maren Morris, Susanna Hoffs from the Bengals, Adele, Hank Azaria, one of the many, many voices on The Simpsons. He's also got a Bruce Springsteen tribute band. I talked with the cast and creators behind Citadel Diana and Citadel Honey Bunny, Suzanne Vega, Billy Corgan of the Smashing Pumpkins, Sting, just an example of what you get when you subscribe to the Kyle Meredith With podcast. That's me, Kyle Meredith, today talking with Danny O'Donohue from The Script. They've been on tour all this summer with Pink. They have a new album called Satellites. We're going to be talking about both of those. They'll hear. He'll tell us about the surprise gigs they've been doing between their Pink dates, where they do guerrilla pop-up shows at local Irish bars wherever they are around the country. I'll hear about some of the songs from the album. We're also going to hear about him doing some zero gravity free-falling in an airplane and some other fun stuff they do on tour stops, and what it's been like to write and record this new album after the passing of his best friend, co-founder, and co-songwriter, Mark Sheahan. So all that and more as we talk Satellites. It's Kyle Meredith with Danny O'Donohue from The Script.
Boom. How are you? Great intro.
Great, man. You know, it's tried and true intro. 6 years of saying the same thing with somebody's name different. I can do it in my sleep, and I probably do.
Yeah, so. Has anybody put them all together, what you say in the intro is exactly the same, but like having like 15 of you on the screen?
I've been waiting for people to realize that I wear about the same 3 shirts for every interview, and no one's picked up on that yet. So,
and literally, you just said 3 shirts, so which means that you're probably in the boxer shorts right now. Nobody can see on the Zoom.
Who's to know?
Exactly. I just wear like little tidy top, belly top. That's it. Nobody can tell.
Little crop top right there. That'd be really cool.
Yeah.
Hey, it's been fun watching you all. You know, the stuff you've been putting out on a video. Yeah, I know you've been on tour with Pink through most of this year, which looks like it's been a blast. I was watching the video blog that you all posted recently, and it's so many snapshots, and there's this half a second thing, and I'm like, they're in like an anti-gravity chamber, like no context, no story, no, and just like, hey, we are floating, and that's it. Like, what the hell's going on? When did you do that?
Well, it wasn't a chamber. It was actually in an airplane.
You were up there.
Yeah, we went up. One of the days was actually in Vegas. I got the opportunity to go along to Zero G, which is a company that they basically train some of the NASA pilots. But when they go into space, you get to go do a free fall. So they do a thing called a parabolic like up and down kind of motion, which is that it goes up to a certain height and then it just literally plummets, free falls down to the ground, but at the same speed that a human would fall. So you basically end up reaching zero G, so zero gravity, while you're on the airplane. So they kind of go up and down, you know, and they do this like 15 times. And each time it goes up, you're like stuck to the ground, and then it goes over the top like a roller coaster, and then you just take off, like, you know, throwing your phone in the air, it's floating, everything.
How did you do? Like, did you do okay?
Yeah, I was all right. I mean, I was there to shoot, to be honest, because the album is called Satellites, and I was there to shoot. We put up these little mini videos, visualizers, on our site all the time on Instagram and stuff. And I got the opportunity to go up there, and I was going to do a visualizer, which was like basically me. I thought how cool would it be me with a guitar floating in space singing Satellites. So I tried to do like a serious version of it and just be like sitting there. But like every time I tried to do it, someone was coming kicking me in the face, or someone I was turning over, or Glenn's ass would come by the screen or whatever. It's just like really funny. So then it ended up being like not a sentimental piece, but it ended up being quite hilarious, just like a personality thing, you know, where it's like, this is what we get to do on our day off, and how blessed are we that we can do this? You know, it's just brilliant.
And I mean, that's one of the best things about touring, especially when you're in, you know, a successful band and you know, you're not just stuck in the back of a, you know, a smelly van or the green room the whole time. Like, you all being able to get and see the world, because I mean, on top of that, like, you're not just doing the Pink dates, like, you've been doing your own dates too, like, which seems like a mad schedule.
Well, on top of that, we've been doing that, and we've been doing radio shows on top of that. And then also, we've been doing guerrilla gigs in Irish bars. So we'll do Pink on a stadium. Then the next night, we'll play somewhere, whatever, Hard Rock in Boston. And then the next day, we'll do a radio show in the morning, play the stadium, because we're on before Pink. So we kind of finished around 9, which is very unusual for us as the band. So we still feel like amped. You know, we don't get to play our full set. So we just still have the energy. So if I go for a run in the morning or go for a walk, normally I kind of try and find out the town that I'm in. I'll go like right to the city center and just walk around for 2 or 3 hours. I always find like a small bar that normally has live music on at nighttime. 9 times out of 10, it tends to be an Irish bar. So I'll go in and just ask the owner, say, look, we're playing down the road in the stadium. And they're like, oh, you know, what do you do? And I'm like, oh, I'm in a band. What band? Because the script. They're like, oh, what? Like, and I'm like, yeah, can we come maybe after the show and just play a few songs? And the guys was like, yeah, of course. So they throw the kitchen sink at it, because it's just like a normal mom's and papa's bar that they don't get anybody big there at any time. So by the time we've come back later on, we've announced it on social media. The bar has put it out on their socials, and you get like local press come down, cover the whole thing. The place is about, you know, if it fits 500 people, there's 2,000 people there. It's just such a fun thing to do when you get off stage. You know, I don't drink. So, you know, you have a whole night ahead of you. So like, well, fucking, let's just go play more music, because that's what I love to do. You know, people think it's work, but it's not. It's fun. You know, people are singing along to you, you know, singing along with the songs and just genuinely having a good time. And the atmosphere in a bar is pretty fun, even if you aren't drinking anyway. Got good food, good bad food, if you know what I mean.
And we'll be right back right after this.
Some things you wouldn't mind being stuck with, like a huge inheritance. But a phone that has to be plugged in just right so it charges is not one of those things. Switch to Verizon and we'll pay off your old phone up to $800 via prepaid MasterCard for a new one on us. Just trade in any phone from our top brands with select unlimited plans. $829.99 purchase with new smartphone line on select unlimited plans. Minimum $90 per month with auto pay plus taxes and fees for 36 months required. Plus $830 trade-in slash promo credit applied over 36 months. Trade-in terms apply. Payoff phone requires smartphone purchase and port-in with new smartphone line on select plan. Must provide most recent bill showing payoff amount of eligible phone. Additional terms apply.
At Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Welcome back. It's Kyle Meredith with Danny O'Donohue from The Script. That not drinking, I mean, you've talked about that too, you know, no drinking and pulling back on social media and all that. Like how much of this is sort of like, one, again, the opportunity that you get to do it, but, you know, is it to a degree like replacements? Like, you've got to keep yours, because touring is maddening for the boredom that can happen.
Yeah, if you don't have something to keep your mind occupied, then the road will occupy you. And I feel like if you don't have something to constantly think of that you need to do or hold yourself up to a higher, you know, a higher standard or stature, you're probably going to fall down. Because trust me, man, I've been on the road we've heard the world 7 times. So I know what those months of being lonely on tour can do to you. I know what months of partying can do to you. I know what literally months of it, or all of it, can do. And this time around, I'm like, you know, I really want it. Not, like, a lot of times I might be hungover by the time I get to a city, which means I'm not going to want to go see the city, or I'll just want to like recuperate until the next show and gig. But this time around, I just said, I'd like to plan something while I'm there. And then on top of that, we've been shooting these visualizers, so we'll get to the city. Maybe like Detroit was the last one that we did. Got to Detroit. We 2 days off in Detroit. Sorry. First day off that we arrived there, and then the following day we had our own show. Well, sorry, it was a stadium show, and then the next day we had our own show. And on the day off, normally have a day off, but me and my friend Matt, the cameraman, we just went around for, it was called like urban exploring. So you just find like a bunch of derelict buildings that you go to. One could be a church, one could be like an old car factory, and you look for ways to get into the building. So there's like some, I mean, it's not legal, but it's not illegal. It's like, these things are open. You can go in. It's at your own risk, if you know what I mean.
Right, right.
So there's, you know, we try and find really cool, interesting places to go film that we don't have to spend a lot of money on, that we can do, you know, cost price. But then also it's literally the best way to get to see a city, because you're just like, we're just like walking around. Like, I mean, when I say like, oh, what about that church? We'll walk around the church, you know, go like, if we can get into the, we'll get in, we'll, you know, bottom floor, go up to the top, check out the bells. Like it's a really fun thing to do. It takes your mind off the fact that you're out on tour. And then, like I said, at the end of the day, we're looking for pieces of, when I say pieces of content, it's actually more, we're looking to shoot an art project, which is me miming one of the songs maybe that we have on the record. And then we just put a cool video together, and it's good, because it's kind of like, I now know, like, all the visualizers you'll see is pretty much my day off. So I was like, that's what I did on my day off. You know, I went to a really fun science center where they had a big planetarium, and they just like shoot stars on the roof. And I was like saying to the guy, I was like, you must be bored just shooting stars all day long. Like, what about if you shot a band? And he started to kind of like, oh, you know, I'm allowed to get my folder out, you know. So he went to his folder and put up what he's been working on to shoot on the roof. And I was like, cool, because we set the band up right in the middle of this planetarium, and he was just shooting all the projector footage on the roof. And we shot this cool ass video, and it was about £200, you know, $200. And in fairness, it was $200, but we had seven people with us, right? Because we could take the room for like an hour. And I worked it out. I was like, $200. How much is it into the science center? And it was like £30, but with seven of us. And I'm like, it cost us less to go in and shoot a music video than it did to just actually pay admission to the science center, if you know what I mean. And we got to go in and have fun. But, you know, we do that everywhere we go, you know. And like I said, when you're doing stuff like that, and that's so fun, you're not thinking about like, I want to feel good, so I'm going to go for a burger and chips, or I'm going to go out for a beer, or I'm going to go for whatever else tickles your fancy when you're in these states, because fucking everything's legal now as well, isn't it?
That's true. And especially, you know, and that moment in Home Is Where the Hurt Is, where, you know, we are who we are, and you know, a little bit of what that song paints anyway, you know, just kind of seeing it in action, you know, you know, those lyrics in action right there. That's, but, you know, and that's a good seg to the album too, because this was your first album in 5 years. And, you know, I know you, I think I read somewhere that you'd already booked studio time even before Mark's passing, but like going into this, even back then, like, did you have a vision of what this album was going to be? Did you know who you wanted to be in the album?
It kind of all came, I think, after Mark's passing, because that's the only time you can contemplate what it is. There was no like, oh, I want it to be this, and then we need to chase it. It was more like, what are we going to do tomorrow? I'm fucking devastated. Can't write. I have been drinking loads. I've been just, you know, slamming the food, doing all that kind of stuff. And I just had no will to really want to do anything. And then getting into the studio to do that first song was like, let's try and fucking pull ourselves up by the boots here and see if we can, I don't know, you know, even if we can get through a writing session, see, you know, without breaking down or, you know, talking about the elephant in the room, if you know what I mean, and or the specter that's there now, because we're in the studio, and, you know, it's whenever I would throw out a lyric, I'd wait for him to just be like, oh, what about this, or try and take it and twist it or something. So it was just to see whether that same routine was good anymore, if you know what I mean. Like, it's a weird thing being a songwriter, because I do believe in energies and spirits and this kind of thing, and, you know, how the music comes to you. It's all very magical, you know what I mean? I'm sure there is, you could explain it, but for the most part, it's outside my understanding of where it comes from and how you get inspiration. And you can, you know, you can sit down to write a song for a whole week, nothing comes. You can go out to a theater later on and the idea hits you when you're in the toilet. You know, it's like there's so many, a lot of my friends who are songwriters, sorry to digress, but a lot of my friends who are songwriters, they tell me about their hit songs. Every single story about how they wrote a hit song was how they weren't writing a hit song at the time. And I can't explain it any other way. And these people have massive hits, just like generational. Every 10 years they have a, like, you know, I Will Always Love You, Whitney Houston kind of style song or something huge. And they weren't trying to write it, that song, while they were doing it. It was like, oh, it's just, I was hungover, I came in. Someone said, I Will Always Love You. And I was like, yeah, if that's ever going to work in a song. And so we worked on it, you know, whatever. 15 minutes later, I was like, oh, I'm going to go get a burrito. And that's the last thing I heard. And then next of all, you know what I mean? Like, whereas everybody's like sitting in writing sessions, be like, okay, we have to write the song that's going to change the world. Never happens. Like, never, ever happens. I just felt like trying to write a song to just change the mood a bit. See, did we still have it? And the more I started to write, if I was starting to write about other things, I didn't have the same appetite to write just about frivolous shit. Do you know what I mean? Like, oh, let's throw a golf to the club, or, you know, I'm going out drinking, whatever. It didn't mean that. So I started to go, like, I really wanted to write about how I'm feeling, like I always do. But it was more special this time around because I had to go to the well to talk about somebody that I used to go to talk to people about other things. So I'm talking about, you know, my best mate and all these things of nearly 30 odd years. How do I encapsulate him in a song? Is it even the right time to do it? You know, am I right in the middle of, like, in 5 years? I don't know, but in 5 years' time, will I look back on this album and think, fuck, man, he was hurting back then. Like, listen to what he's writing. You know, is it the right time to do it? And I feel that's what artists do, you know? That's what artists, you know, they go there whether it's right or not. You know what I mean? That's where the feeling is I need to go here. I need to just take what's in my inside of me and just dump it out because I can't take it anymore. So that to me is the most beautiful thing about, If that feeling and emotion to me is the words and melody, then I dump it out on top of the music or whatever, on the band. And then that's what happens. And then they kind of take, okay, God, that's a really heavy feeling. What about, does this drum go with a heavy feeling? I don't know. You know, you kind of start to chew on things and break it out. And it just started to speed up and started to, like, we were enjoying those days because there was a little bit, even though we were in there and you're faced with the fact that you're there without somebody, you are there with people who you've been there for a long time. So there's a lot of familiarity with it. You're not just on your own missing somebody. You're missing somebody with a lot of people. And that's a lot more fun, it seems, to miss somebody with a lot of other people than to do it on your own. But I feel like, you know, the more I started to write on the album, the more confidence I was getting on the fact that I was getting what I needed out, you know. And at the end of the day, I don't write, I know it seems that way, but I don't write music for other people. You know, I write music for me. It's like, I've got this feeling that I need to put down on a piece of paper and put it in a musical form. And then if it goes on the shelf, fine, I don't care. But, or if somebody else finds something in it that they might find, that it might be a release for them, which is what music is. It's almost like if you're all bubbled up, you know, music can come out and just burst that bubble. It's a beautiful device that it can just unlock the deepest of feelings, the hardest of emotions, all of those things. And I found working on it for me, it's just doing exactly what it's always done for me, which is just letting out the theme, let off the air, letting out the gas, whatever that it does, the magic that it does. And So we had a body of work. We had more than a body of work. I mean, we put, I think, 11 songs on the album or 12. I ended up writing about 70 for the album. And that covered an experimental stage where I was just trying different things, you know, going a little bit more like 808s and stuff on the lower end, not like rap. I just mean, instead of it being like traditional drums and bass, using 808s and seeing does the script, you know, guitars on top with 808 on the bass line, and then me singing on top of it. What does that feel current? And although it did feel current, it didn't feel like the script, which is a different. And I was like, well, you want the script to sound current, but but you also want it to sound like the script. You don't want it to sound like, oh shit, they've lost half the band here, you know, with the rhythm and the bass gone, if you know what I mean. So there's a few of those that are on the scrap heap that, you know, you never know. Well, I might release them in an EP or something.
B-sides, I'm always a fan of the B-sides.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I'm the Z side, you know what I mean? The XYZ side.
And we'll be right back right after this. Welcome back. It's Kyle Meredith with Danny O'Donohue from The Script.
When I listened to it the first time, I thought, this is kind of a dark album, but it's like beautifully dark at the same time. And you get those moments like you don't expect. The title track with Satellite, you know, you do the line about, you know, you think you're wishing on the star and it turns out to be Satellite. And I'm like, fuck, you know, like that's a gut punch right there. Like
that's... Tell me about it, man. Well, you should have felt my gut when I was actually wishing on that star. That really happened. I was sitting at the back in Ealing and I was just having a bit of a moment, you know, it was during COVID, and I was really wishing on a star. And I just had this freak out moment. I was drinking whiskey and I was looking at the star and I was like, you know, making a wish, this, that, and the other. And then I went back to look at the star and it had shifted over and I was like, oh, my babes, like, babes, the fucking star, babe, that star is moving. She's moving. She's like, Satellite. And I was like, oh, man, it's fucking heartbreaking. You know, don't break your heart when you start to realize all the stars you've been wishing on were all just satellites. Quick, get to the piano. And I went in and just wrote it down. And me and another guy, Ben Leftwich, worked on the lyric to try and make sure that all of the lines were as good punchy as that. You know, gift for gifting me a necklace that you turned into a noose. Just all of the lines that you're just like, oh, what? One after the other. Good punch, left hook, straight right, you know, like... all of them in it. But I'm still, like I said, I'm super proud of that song, which is why I end up calling the album after it. It was the last song that Mark would have heard that I, you know, that I wrote that he really liked and wanted to work on for the next record as well. So just seemed to fit.
I love that. And it's impressive that knowing that you also, as you were saying, like even working with someone on that song, and working with songwriters and knowing how the pop world works in songwriting, that your voice didn't get lost and the sentiment didn't get lost, because that's very easy. And, you know, that kind of songwriting situations, you know, like the fact that that didn't happen, I think is double impressive.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, it went through a few iterations before it ended up being the one that it is, you know, and I kind of always come to when we're making an album, like a song like that, because it's such a good idea, it's really hard to not throw the kitchen sink at it, you know, because I want the whole world to hear it. So therefore your thinking is, let's put, like, you know, let's get this guy to do the drums, let's do this, get strings on it, and, you know, push it up to the really high key and so you can't sing, you know. And then before you know it, you've swamped it in glitz, and when it didn't need it, it just needed a guitar and a delivery. You know, if we were starting off as a new band, I would probably still take that approach. But I feel like we've established ourselves. People know who we are. And that is just the best jacket for that song. Now, if it ends up going and doing something and, you know, ends up getting up the charts, then great. But if not, I know it's in the right way that I want people. It's sitting in the shop window in the right way. Do you know what I mean? You know, it's not all lights and lasers and smoke machines around. And you're like, what the fuck's going on here? It's just, it is what it is. It kind of harks back, you know, to an older school, just singer-songwriter, you know, James Taylor or somebody like that.
Absolutely. Well, I know I could compliment so many of the songs on here too. I mean, Both Ways and At Your Feet. I mean, and Home Is Where the Hurt Is. I mean, you really have pulled out something so special with what you all do.
Thanks, man.
And I say this every now and then, but if any artist can pull this off, you know, when you're looking at more than a decade into your career, decades into your career, like that's everything right there. So seriously, congrats on this.
Dude, I appreciate it. Yeah, it's not lost on me. What is kind of crazy is it feels like I'm fresh and I've just came into the industry, you know, a year or two. But what I'm realizing now is, because we've been in it, and every time you record, or you want to be at the races, and it's like, oh, we're at the races again. Okay, cool. Here, and everyone's running for the race. And it's just like, we've done that so long that now I really take it. I'm just sitting back and looking at it and going, wow, because I used to be racing against all of these other bands. And then the next race next year, that band's not there. And then there's still the four bands are left. And then there's now only three and then two and then one. And it's mad because a lot of the bands, 99% of the bands that came out the same year we did don't exist anymore. And it's mad because it's not due to talent, because everybody's bloody brilliant. When you get to a certain level, everyone's great. It's like, it's, you know, work your ass off. Don't take anything for granted. Don't believe your own hype, you know, don't get lost in the bullshit. You know, like there's things to take people down. It's almost like there's this whole battalion of people. It's like drugs. Well, drugs got him, you know, alcohol got him, you know, as you can see in the news these days, fucking there's everything going on, pulling people down. And like I said, to be able to get to, we're at 17 years as the script, but myself and Mark are in the industry nearly over 30 years.
You are who you are at this point, especially.
We are who we are.
Well, congrats on Satellite. And seriously, I'm loving the contents online too. It's been a real pleasure to talk to you about it. Thank you so much for taking the time.
Dude, listen, anytime at all. Thank you very much for the support. And we look forward to coming back stateside probably next year.
And my thanks to Danny. The Script's new album is called Satellites. Thanks to you for checking out the episode. Hit that subscribe button before you head out of here. That way you get three new interviews just like this one sent to you every single week. A new one every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. You can grab us anywhere you get your podcasts from, including Spotify, Apple Podcasts, NPR, WFPK.org, Consequence, YouTube for the video versions, or anywhere you get your podcasts from. Subscribe to Kyle Meredith With. Don't forget to give the series a rating and leave a review. After that, you can head over to WFPK.org. That's where I do a show Monday through Friday, starting at 6 p.m. Eastern. 4 hours of classics from the 80s and 90s, the best in new music, bonus interviews, lots of music news as well. One of my recent shows featured some classics and favorites from Elvis Costello, The Beach Boys, Melanie, The Head and the Heart, Crowded House, Material Issue, NRBQ, The Smashing Pumpkins, Beastie Boys, Something Corporate, Pretenders, Beach House, Yeah Yeah Yeahs, Lake Street Dive, Biba Doobie, Father John Misty, and my interview with actor Thomas Lennon, who you know from Reno 911 and MTV's The State. That's what you can hear when you tune in weeknights, 6 p.m. Eastern at WFPK.org. Consequence has your music and film news. You can also find me on any of the social media sites. The address is always the same. It's at Kyle Meredith. I do hope you like and follow along. And that does it for another edition. I'm Kyle Meredith. I'll see you next time.
Consequence Podcast Network.
The kettle's boiling, so I can even hear it clicking, but I won't have time to get one. It's all good.
It's easy to hear your favorite artist on WFPK from wherever you are. Listen on your smart speaker, live stream from our website at WFPK.org from Louisville Public Media.
Hey, football fans. BetMGM is giving you the chance to win up to $250,000 in bonus bets. It's all part of BetMGM's longest touchdown jackpot, where you'll be able to split the grand prize with anyone else who bet on the longest touchdown of the week. Log into your BetMGM account today and opt into the promo. Then, place an anytime touchdown wager of $10 or more on the player of your choice up to one player per game. If your player scores the longest touchdown of the week, you'll win a share of the $250,000. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. See BetMGM.com for terms. 21 plus only. This U.S. promotional offer is not available in Mississippi, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. For New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY 467-369. For Arizona, 1-800-NEXT-STEP. For Massachusetts, 1-800-327-5050. For Iowa, 1-800-BETS-OFF. For Puerto Rico, 1-800-981-0023. Subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are unrestricted bonus dollars that expire in 7 days. In partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel.
What is Dax? Are you
tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker on all our devices? Yes, Kristen. Yes, I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for.
In Dax's domain, we see all, so we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge. Trucks up 3.9%.
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.